The next FAQ is entitled, When Was Satan Created? Posted August 22nd. Hi Mike, when was Satan created? Would it have been along with the fowls of the air and the fishes on day 5? Thank you for all you do to explain these things to us. Signed, Jay. Hi Jay, you ask, when was Satan created? Before answering that question, allow me to point out that in the realm of the spirit, things which appear to be contradictory are still making very valid points. For example, it would appear to be impossible or even contradictory to call Christ both a slain lamb and a devouring lion. It would seem impossible and even contradictory to call us both sons and a bride, etc. But no one who has been given eyes that see and ears that hear has any problem seeing that there is a time when Christ is a lamb and there is a time when he is a lion. There is also a sense in which we are sons of God, and there is a sense in which we are a chaste virgin espoused to a husband. In Genesis 37, the Son is a type of our physical parents, who are nothing more than our own flesh, in verses 9 and 10. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to you, to the earth? The sun is also used as a symbol of Christ in these verses. Psalms 19, verses 4 and 5. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And Malachi 4 verse 2, But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. In the same seemingly contradictory manner, there is a symbol for Satan, which was created on the fifth day, to tell us when he was created, and there is another symbol for Satan, which was created on the sixth day, and is concerned with what his function is within our flesh. It is Christ himself who tells us what is the meaning of the symbol for the spirit world, and that particular symbol was created on the fifth day. Notice in Matthew 13, verses 3 and 4, And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Who does Christ tell us the fowls symbolize in this parable? These are his own words in Matthew 13, verses 18 and 19. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. It is the wicked one who devours up the seed which fell by the wayside. The wicked one is Satan and his angels, who are symbolized by a creature which was created on the fifth day, the fowls. In Genesis 1, verses 20 through 23, And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So the fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven are used by Christ himself to symbolize the spirit realm in our heavens. but another seemingly contradictory symbol is used to signify what those fowls do within our carnal-minded flesh. And that symbol was created on the sixth day and is called a beast of the field. In Genesis 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, God has said, You shall not eat of every tree of this garden." So when it comes to when Satan was created, our Lord uses a symbol of the fowls of the heaven created on the fifth day, shouting for joy at the creation of the sixth day. Job 38, verses 4 through 7. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measure thereof, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the suns," i.e. the spirit realm symbolized by the fowls of the air, "and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And Hebrews 12, verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" When it comes to what Satan is given to do within our flesh, he is symbolized by a beast of the field. I hope this clears this up for you. If not, please let me know. Your very grateful fellow servant, Mike. Our next FAQ is entitled, "How will Satan be in everyone after the millennium?" Posted August 28. Thanks for all the work you do in the Spirit of Christ. I just finished the Revelation study, and it was good and inspiring. My question is, how can Satan be in everybody at the same time, unless it's through other evil spirits? For example, when he's chained in the abyss during the millennium. After all, as far as I can see in Scripture, he is not omnipresent like God. And if he is not, which person will he be in? This came to mind during the Revelation study notes. Your brother in Christ, and thank you, signed L. Hi, L. Thank you for your question. I'm so grateful to know you're feeling edified by the studies in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I encourage everyone to read the studies on the spiritual significance of numbers, colors, metals, and the animals of Scripture before reading the studies in the book of Revelation. You will certainly get much more out of those studies if you read those studies first. You say, I've just finished the Revelation study and it was good and inspiring. So you might want to go back and read those studies and then go back through the studies in the book of Revelation. You ask, how can Satan be in everyone at the same time unless it's through other evil spirits? For example, when he's chained in the abyss during the millennium. After all, as far as I can see in Scripture, he's not omnipresent like God, and if he's not, which person will he be in? You are exactly right about Satan having many minions under him, and through whom he carries out the work that the Lord gives him to do. We know this is so because of the man out of whom Christ cast a legion of demons, and because Christ told us that an unclean spirit can bring with it seven spirits more evil than itself. Matthew 5, verse 9, and he asked them, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And Matthew 12, verse 45, then goes he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. When we are told that Satan is imprisoned during the 1,000 years, what we're being told is that he and his entire kingdom will be neutralized for that period of time, and he and all his demons are not given of God to go forth and deceive the nations during that time. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. When we are told he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years are expired, we are not being told that the nations are converted and are becoming overcomers. That doctrine of a worldwide revival under the rulership of God's elect is simply not based upon the truths of Scripture. Satan and his demons simply will not be permitted to roam about seeking whom he may devour with his false doctrines for this symbolic period of time. For more on that subject, there are links to read, the titles of which are God's Purpose for the Millennium Within and Without, and What and Where is the Bottomless Pit? The phrase, the bottomless pit, is translated from the Greek word abusos, which is most often translated as bottomless pit, but with a couple very revealing exceptions. Here are all the entries for this Greek word abusos. It's 7 times mentioned as bottomless and 2 times mentioned as deep. And here are those 2 verses where the Greek word abusos is translated as deep instead of bottomless pit. Luke 8, verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, which is G12, abusos, and Romans 10, verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep, abusos, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. What is so revealing about these 2 verses is that when we go back to the Old Testament and read the verses that Paul is quoting in Romans 10:7, we discover that the word abusos is the sea. Here are the verses in Deuteronomy from which Paul is quoting. In chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, for this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word, i.e. Christ, is very near unto you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The Hebrew word translated as sea 2 times in verse 13 is yam, and is Strong's number H3220. And it is the word translated as sea in this verse in Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, that Hebrew word yam, H3220, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So the legion of demons really was asking Christ not to send them into the sea, but knowing what the word sea means in Scripture, they were also asking Christ not to torment them with imprisonment and with his word before the time. Matthew 8, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Are you come hither to torment us before the time? So it is apparent that the spirit realm has been given to know that they too face a time of judgment. But the spiritual significance of the word sea is as the symbol of that unstable substance which is the flesh of all men, and from which we all first rise up. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, i.e. you and me and all flesh, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. The legion of demons wanted to be right where the action was, And at this moment, the action was in possessing the man whom Christ had come to cleanse of a legion of foul spirits. Mark 9, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him, and enter no more into him." The word "see" in Revelation 13, verse 1, is the Greek word thalassa. It appears 95 times and is always translated as "see." But our flesh is by nature enmity against God, and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8, 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we are by nature children of God's wrath and children of Satan, who is also at enmity against God. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, i.e. the kingdom of our father the devil, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The prince of the power of the air is not a prince at all if he is not given dominion over others. But Satan has indeed been given many false and lying spirits over whom he presides, in the same way that God himself presides over and directs Satan and his subordinates. Here's just one more verse which makes this point. In Revelation 12, verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. I hope all these verses of Scripture help you to see that Satan is a prince who has indeed been given all the kingdoms of the world, and has been granted power over all this earth, except for a few chosen for God's service at this time and in this age. Luke 4, verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Matthew 22, verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Your brother in Christ, Mike. And our last FAQ for the month of August 2013 is called, Is Jesus Literally Returning? Mike, I just read the article of your answer to a question. If I understood it correctly, you are saying that Jesus' second coming is not going to be a literal event, but in fact, it will only be a spiritual second coming within us. I have to say, this is almost crushing. It seems like all the trash, the trials and tribulation, the suffering in the world that was predicted is literal, but Jesus coming back is figurative? I don't like this. It's like we are guaranteed to suffer in this life, but no guarantees of anything else. Jesus might help some of us and might not, save some here, which eventually means we suffer, or we die, we go to the lake of fire to suffer before we're saved. Signed, D. Hi, Dee. Thank you for taking the time to write. You said, if I understood it correctly, you're saying that Jesus' second coming is not going to be a literal event, but in fact, it will only be a spiritual second coming within us. I have to say that is almost crushing. It seems like all the trash, the trials and tribulations, the suffering in the world that was predicted is literal, but Jesus coming back is figurative. Well, all I can say is you did not understand what I was saying at all. I would appreciate it if you would show me where I've ever said that Christ's second coming is only figurative. If you'd like to send me the link on which you read that, I could deal with your concerns. The fact is that I've never said or intimated that Christ's coming is figurative. The fact that I acknowledge that we, as his persecuted few, are Jesus of Nazareth, in no way means that we are the head or that our head will not be here on earth when he sets up his elect as literal physical rulers of this earth. He himself is here now, and he himself has never left us. If that is all just figurative to you, well, then I'm sorry, but I do not feel that he is only figuratively living his life within me. I know that he is literally doing so, or I would not be so hated for simply quoting and expounding upon the Bible. For example, 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption." So while it's true that Christ is a spirit, it is not true that spirits cannot appear as flesh and blood. They can, and they have, and they will do so. Genesis 18, verses 1 and 2. "And the Lord," Hebrew word Yahweh, "appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." The Lord, a spirit himself, appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. He ate of the fatted calf with Abraham. He did not figuratively meet with and eat with Abraham, and that is the way it will be during the time when God's spiritual elect are ruling this physical, carnal earth. They will appear at that time as Christ appeared to his carnal, physical disciples after his own resurrection to a body of spirit. Here is what spirit is capable of doing. Luke 24:39. "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have." Was Christ raised with a spiritual body? Yes, he was. John 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." And 1 Corinthians 15:44, "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Yet when he was resurrected, he appeared suddenly in a locked room and ate a meal with his disciples. Luke 24, verses 36 through 43. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them." That is what I believe and teach we will be while ruling this earth during the symbolic 1,000 years. A physical body is so very limited and cannot even carry this dying body of flesh but for a time. James 4 verse 14. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So, if the ability to move at the speed of light and still appear as a physical body, enjoying the fatted calf and broiled fish and honeycomb sounds crushing to you, I do not know what to say. I myself cannot wait. With such abilities as these in the hands of God's elect, taking power from the world's leaders and all of their generals will not even be a challenge. I hope this helps you to see that you simply did not understand what I was saying. Your brother in Christ, Mike. The reply from D says, okay, figurative was a bad word to use, but I understand now, as far as the elect ruling, and you do believe we will have these ability, I say we, as with a hope, I guess I just want to be able to know that one day all this misery will end. I just want some kind of hope that Jesus will return in absolute power. This I would love to see, and soon, hopefully. Signed, D. God's blessing be on you. Just for the record, I say we in hope also, because that is the godly attitude of all in whom Christ dwells. Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Those who are with Christ are not just called and chosen as was Judas, who did not forsake Christ with the first great falling away of John 6, but those who are with Christ in the armies of heaven on symbolic white horses are called and chosen and faithful to the end. It is my fervent prayer that both you and I are a part of the heavenly army with our Lord, who will literally destroy all opposition to the rule of him and his elect during that symbolic 1,000 years. The outcome of that battle has already been determined, and I am hoping to be on the winning side with you. In the meantime, it is the battle in the heavens, which these our email exchanges are, which must be fought and won. And that is where we must keep our emphasis for now if we want to be rulers who will not tolerate all the suffering being perpetuated upon mankind at this time. We are fighting a war in the heavens, and we will be saved by the hope of winning that war through Christ in us. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and, having done all, to stand. Your excited fellow soldier, Mike.